Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's happening? How you doing today? Let's go. Tiki and Tierney, lots to hit. A lot of baseball out of the chute. Getting a little worried as we come to you from our Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. So if you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you on this Wednesday around the country. Hopefully everybody's hanging in, hanging on. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 206, Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Tiki, what's happening, buddy? How are
All's
you today?
All's good, man. Middle of the week. Hump day, right? Middle of the week. Getting
the
there.
The Humpty Dance is a chance to the hump. You know it.
That's like my go-to karaoke song. Because everybody knows it. You sing it because everybody knows it.
That's right.
Even if you don't know it, you can fake it enough because you've heard it enough times.
That's right. That's right. Shock G.
Exactly.
Wow, we're throwing it back old school to kick it, huh? You want to start talking about Nolan Ryan and Steve Carlton, too, since we're going to talk about baseball?
Tupac was in that, too.
Of course he was. I hear you. All right, so listen, we got problems with baseball. We've got problems with baseball. And we have problems with baseball because Major League Baseball is trying to, not even trying, they are putting the players in the most unenviable position of being made out to be the bad guys in the court of public opinion based on the proposal that they rolled out yesterday, the tiered plan financially. Listen, there's a lot to get to today. You have been, I've been not even optimistic. I've been just hell-bent. There will be a season.
Yeah.
It's the first day I flinched a little bit. I think there's a lot to be concerned about here.
Well, yesterday at the end of our show, there was a tweet by Marcus Stroman, New York Mets pitcher, and kind of just like, what the heck is wrong with this guy? Man, he's just like throwing incendiary comments out on social media just because he felt like being interesting today. But really, when you dig into what we've now come to learn, I kind of feel them. I wouldn't have said it until I looked into it yesterday, and obviously we hear more about it today, that Major League Baseball is pushing the players in a way that's making them almost have to say, we can't allow this. And they're doing it in two different ways, BT. One is they're kind of forcing the players to share in the losses, and we knew that this was a possibility. Maybe the Players Association didn't understand what the owners were saying when they negotiated the prorated salaries back in March. And now, but you move forward, and there was a proposal, I don't think it ever actually went before the players, that it would be a 50-50 revenue split, essentially a salary cap based on the amount of money that came in. And now you're getting this tiered like percentage based on how much money you make. And that, BT, is even worse because it's going to put the players against the players. You already got the players against the owners. Now they're positioning it so that the players against the players. And the worst thing about it, BT, is that it's all happening in public. Like, we're all talking about it. Mm-hmm. This should be behind closed doors. It should be behind the scenes. And baseball season should just pop up. It's not going to happen that way. We're going to dissect it and discuss it, and somebody's going to be made the bad guy. And as you said, BT, it's almost always going to be the player.
Listen, here's something we got to get out of the chute right away before we get into some of these specifics here. People have to stop with this nonsense because I'm starting to get a lot of this now. Well, the NBA players are okay with the proposals, and the NHL players are on board. The NBA players got paid. The NHL players got paid. Football obviously has been unaffected outside of the draft and stuff. But
yep.
Baseball players right now, the way they presented a scale, and I know we have it up on the tube here. Good job on TV's part. But 65% of Major League Baseball players make $1 million or less. All right? So the way they're scaling this, it's basically $500,000 to $1 million. You get back prorated portion of 72.5% of your salary. Boom. $1 million to about $5 million, it's 50%, and it keeps going down, obviously. Once you get to the $20 million and $1 and up, you get 20% of the prorated portion. So like Tiki said, somebody like Mike Trout, who has the highest contract coming, Gerrit Cole is at 36. Mike Trout is at 37.7. The prorated portion for Mike would be about 19 change. But based on this implementation here, this scale, it's going to be about $6 million. Now,
wow.
Now listen, I mean, listen, wow. I understand that where we are, the reason we're here about a sliding scale and a condensed season and bubble cities and returns and Disney World with the NBA and all these wacky plans forced out of necessity. The reason we're here is because the world has spun in a direction that it's really never spun before. Maybe at least since, you know, 1918 or so with the flu. All right, so we obviously have to be creative. We've got to be patient. We've got to be resilient, and we have been, all right? And I also understand the average fan does not want to get wrapped up in a debate about, you know, well, Mike Trout's going to make $6 million and he's going to be pissed off about it when I have no job and there's unemployment, right, you know, through the roof.
Yep.
That's a given. There is no correlation to what's happening in the real world, to what's happening or what might happen to these baseball players. But that doesn't mean that it's right. And what's bothering me more, and I said this to you earlier, Teague and I were doing our Facebook kit. It's kind of a condensed version of this. Just go check it out, Facebook, CBSSports.com. CBS Sports, under the Facebook Watch umbrella.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I said, listen, Teague, just think about the perception here. The A's are unwilling to pay their minor league is $400 a week, right,
mm-hmm.
to exist. Organizations are furloughing players, employees left and right. That's kind of positioned as, well, it's a product of the times. It's business.
Yep.
But now the Major League Baseball players stand up for what's theirs, and they get harpooned. It's not right.
Yeah.
It's
and BT, right. To go back to your original thought about the comparisons between the leagues that have played 70 to 80% of their seasons, the NBA and the NHL, those teams, those leagues have revenue-sharing agreements. Major League Baseball does not have a revenue sharing agreement. If the players miss out on a significant upside, let's say the revenues come in 100 times greater than it's ever been, the players don't benefit.
Nope.
If it comes in significantly lower, the players also don't suffer. But what's happening is that the owners and the league are trying to put the players in that position, mm-hmm. share in our losses. And they agreed to it to an extent back in March because of the prorated nature of the season. But now it's getting a little bit, it's getting dicey. It's getting to the point where it feels unfair for the players, despite all the things that you said, BT. And this is convenient, man. I mean, I was in a labor union type situation when I played in the National Football League, and we still are on SAG-AFTRA
as
part of broadcasters, etc. But in major sports, you see this often, BT, and I said this earlier on Facebook as well. When things go awry and negotiations start to happen, usually around the CBA, this happened with the NFL in 2011, and I remember it vividly. The owners started crying like poverty. Well, we don't have any money, and we're trending towards being in the red, mm-hmm. which is not. I mean, you're at the time like an $8 billion business. You're not trending to being in the red. You may not be making as much money as you want to be making, but you're not going to go into the red. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what's happening right now in Major League Baseball. They're saying, well, we don't have any money. We don't want to incur all these losses. Therefore, you all as players have to share those losses with me. Now, if it was in their CBA,
exactly.
I'd say, shut up, players.
Yeah.
Go do your job.
Yeah.
You know, accept it for what it is. But it's not in the CBA. And
renegotiating
that's
within,
right, in real time.
The current CBA.
They're using this pandemic to renegotiate an existing CBA. And it's a shame because the CBA is going to get renegotiated in 2021. Mm-hmm. And I can see that one being a cluster. It's going to get ugly if this one stays as ugly as it seems to be going right now.
It's getting ugly. And I'm curious how many of you are now truly worried about baseball actually having a season this year. 1-855-212-4227. 4227. Let me take into the weeds a little bit for me and Teak here. And I don't like to speak for anybody but myself, but this is my partner, my teammate. We've done the same thing, so we're sharing the same thing. He would say what I'm about to say.
Yep.
Okay, so in work, in business, there are times when you just have to do things that you don't necessarily want to do, okay? Mm-hmm. Based on whether it's the economy, based on a pandemic, whatever it might be. Corporate downsizing, we're all subjected to that. And, you know, if you've caught the last few Saturdays, me and Teak have been on the air. Now, we haven't been doing four-hour Saturday shows because we're such great employees, and we emailed our boss, Mark Chernoff, and said, hey, Cherney, can we do more work for free? I mean, really. I mean, we're such good guys that we just put in the middle of the day, ruin our Saturdays. You know, not that we could go anywhere anyway. But, you know, we're going to be stuck inside from 2 to 6 Eastern. Now, you know what? We'll do it. Why not? We're those kind of guys. We'll do it. No, we didn't really want to do it. Now, let's be totally candid. It's extra work for not a penny more, okay? But the reason why we immediately said we got you back, Cherney, number one, because Cherney, along with CBS and Entercom, have had our back, and that's what you do. It's a reciprocal relationship, all right? And we also understood that there were furloughs. There were people who lost their job. And to bridge the economic hit, people like myself, people like Tiki, people like Joe and Evan Roberts, who do Drive Time on the Fan. Frances is doing a Sunday show. Our buddy D.A., who does, you know, who works on CBS Sports Radio in the mornings. We all took on additional ownership for our company because that's what you do. However, there is a fine line. Like if they said, hey, guys, you need to do this for the next year, I guarantee our agents would be calling. And this is the difference. It's not like Major League Baseball's asking the players to do a few extra Saturday shows. They're actually asking them to do a Saturday show for a full calendar year without a penny incentive, and that's wrong.
Yeah, no,
that's
you're right.
That's wrong.
And it's actually worse than that for the top-end players who, in a free market system, have earned every penny that they're getting, right? It's not like these guys get paid. I mean, some of them do. Like, Mike Trout got paid pretty quickly. And I mean, they bought out arbitration in, like, 3 years, whatever it was.
No.
He was paid pretty early.
Same with Acuna. Acuna. For the Braves.
But it's 10 guys, right? It's a handful of guys that this
not
happens
many.
For. Most of them, they're waiting, man. They're scuffling. Mm-hmm. They're like, man, I hope I don't get hurt. I hope I don't have a serious down season. That's usually not going to go that way. But it could. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You could get financially, not financially ruined, but professionally ruined as a player. And never hit that payday. And so when you get to the point where you've actually earned 15, 20, 30 something million dollars a year, you've earned it, man. And it's sure. And baseball has exploited it, right? And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm using exploit in a good way. Mm-hmm. They champion you. They hold you up. They put you on prime time. They make billboards. You become a commercial success in your local town. And so, like, local revenues increase and national revenues increase. But you've earned it. And it seems like now they're trying to take it away from those guys, pitting them against the guys that are still on the come, still on the uptick. And it's just not fair. Because the guy who's making $280,000 BT is like, this is a great deal.
Yes.
Right? I'm only going to make...
I'm largely unaffected.
I'm missing $20,000 out of my $280,000. Okay, this works for me.
And you get that in meal money just about.
That's exactly right.
Pretty close to it. These guys do pretty well on the per diem for sure.
Yeah.
You know, listen, Tiki mentioned Marcus Stroman's tweet yesterday. This one is shorter, more succinct, and I just think flat out better. From Brett Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Anderson tweeted, I guess this was yesterday too, just didn't see it. Interesting strategy of making the best, most marketable players potentially look like the bad guys.
Yeah, that's
think
right.
About that. That is a great encapsulation of what Major League Baseball is doing. Because if Mike Trout comes out, and even if it's through his representation, however it comes out that Mike Trout is not down with this new scale, who looks like the bad guy?
Mm-hmm.
Mike Trout, in a pandemic with record unemployment rates, whatever, close to the depression, actually comparable to the depression at this point, comparable now, not close to, comparable.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think it's exceeded the last I checked. I think it just ticked past the depression. So Mike Trout's got every right to come out and voice displeasure, but based on the circumstances, same with Gerrit Cole, who's making money, or Strasburg, who just signed for $35 million, or Nolan Arenado, who's making $35 million as well. If one of these guys says the wrong thing, right, about this pay scale, they look as insensitive, almost robotic.
That's right.
Not aware of the world.
That's right. Here are the questions. Should players be making less because the season is shortened?
Yes.
The answer is yes. Should players be making less because there are no fans? The answer is debatable, right?
Because I would say yes. What would you say?
I would say
fractionally yes.
Minimally less.
Okay,
because if it was the other way around, BT,
yeah.
So forget the shortened season. Forget the fact that they're not playing as many games. We're talking about fans. Let's just say that there was an explosion of fandom and every single MLB stadium was packed to the gills, however many seats that is, 50,000, 30,000, whatever it is, every single game, and revenue just exploded, blew the roof off of Major League Baseball's projection.
Mm-hmm.
Not a player is benefiting from that. Not a player is benefiting from that because there is not revenue sharing. The reason I have a problem with this, BT, is because there is a significant loss about to happen for Major League Baseball owners. They are pushing it onto the players. They know it's coming. They've mm-hmm. said this, right? 40% of our revenue comes from fans. There's going to be no fans, or at least for a time, there's going to be a limited amount of fans. So we can't handle that loss, even though they probably can, because the values of their companies are enormous compared to where they bought them at. The appreciation of their companies is enormous compared to where they bought them at. But we don't want to handle it in the short term, so we're passing it on to you to share with us. And MLB players have every single right to say no to that because it's not collectively bargained. And if you're going to stomp on the CBA, then why even have it?
Why have one? I'm with you. Why have one? So the players are furious, all right? There's other issues, which we'll get to coming up next year. But as furious as the players are, the consumer, do you view that anger as greed, as gluttony? Which side are you on right now? I don't think there's any middle ground. This is one of those easily discernible, I'm with this or I'm with that. And usually the answer in a lot of these debates, a lot of things in the world, usually the answer is kind of somewhere between usually. With this, I'd love to get calls from those who actually think the players are wrong, but you're going to have to do a pretty good job convincing us because we're not seeing it. 1-855-212-4227. Harold Reynolds is going to join us a little later in the show. This is it's a rough time for baseball. Jeff Passan from ESPN actually said it's the most transformative. What did he say? What word did he use? Not
transformative.
Not transformative.
No.
Not pivotal. Whatever word he used in a quarter century, I actually think he's short selling it. I mean, he's kind of earmarking the 94 season with the cancellation of the World Series. If this thing goes awry, you could tack 50 more years on before that. This could be the end for baseball in terms of their most recent momentum. All gone. If this happens, 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 1-855-212-4227. I'm going to get some calls here. Which side are you on? Who are you rolling with here, the owners or the players? Kind of a hot mess out of the chute. 855-212-4CBS, sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that'll last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. You know, we've all got a little golf analogy for you, T.
Mm-hmm.
We've all played with that guy, right? We've all played with that guy. Now,
depends on what guy you're talking about, because that guy could be me.
A lot of guys. A lot of different characters on the golf course, as we know. I always joke around, like, when I'm greenside, if my ball's not sitting up within a couple of seconds, eventually it is. But I'm not saying I shot an 82 when I didn't, whatever. I'm just trying to have fun. But there's always the guy, or sometimes the guy, who, no matter what, he always finds his ball, right?
Mm.
You're like, oh, man, that thing's in the weeds, man. That thing's hammered way OB, right? Oh, red stakes, good night. And then he looks, he finds it, and he smashes it on the green with a 4-iron. You can't even see him, right? To me, I feel like the owners here are trying to play a fast one here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like there's no way that their ball should be found,
yeah.
But it looks like they're trying to cheat a little bit based on what has been established legally in the CBA. You know?
And that's all I'm looking at, BT. I'm looking at what the CBA says. And right now the CBA's got the players' backs, and the owners are trying to negotiate it so that they don't lose too much in this pandemic, even though if it was the other way around, they wouldn't share it with the players.
Just saw a tweet. I'm going to read it, and then we'll bury it for a little later because we're going to obviously want to spend a lot of time on this, but we want to get the baseball calls here, which we will. The NBA is working on a multi-phase medical safety protocol towards restarting the season, obviously. Current projections have in-market training camps in July. Okay. So in-market training camps in July. Then camps and scrimmages in Orlando, and then resume play late July, early August.
Hmm.
Early August is kind of pushing.
Yeah.
Kind of pushing it.
Yeah, I agree.
Early August.
I'm not so sure they're going to be online with that time frame.
Oof, that's interesting. We will get back to it. All right, let's get some calls. It's a lot of money. So maybe you're with nobody. Maybe you're not backing the owners. Maybe you're not backing the players. Maybe you're tired of this whole thing playing out publicly when we are where we are, and that's certainly a point we'd respect, would want to hear. But if you had to gravitate toward one of the sides now based on what's been put out there publicly and what Teek and I just discussed, which way are you going? 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to let's start in Tucson, Arizona, and Wayne. Wayne is on Teek and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Wayne?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How you doing, buddy?
Good, good, good. I just wanted to start off by saying I've never been a big team fan. I've been a players fan, and TPU are one of my favorites. So
appreciate you, Wayne.
Thank you. Nice. Appreciate it. And then second thing is you've always been able to relate to both sides, and that's what I respect about the show, is that you have the perspective from the player side, obviously being a player, but you also haven't disconnected from the real world.
Yeah.
So that gives us both sides, and that's kind of where I want to go with this. I completely agree with the players. It's, you know, I have a small business and I have employees, and if, you know, I'm paying one of those employees, let's say $15 an hour, and my business revenue goes down like it recently did, I can't just go back to that employee and say, you know what, we're not making as much money, therefore you're making $8 an hour now.
Yeah.
I can lay them off. I can furlough them, but I can't just cut their wage and say, hey, you're not going to make as much money all of a sudden. Especially without the agreement, and that's without a CBA. It's not like the players could go back to the owners, kind of like you guys hinted to, if things just go crazy and boom and say, you know what, we're going to blow the CBA up. You got to give us more money or we're not going to play.
Yeah,
they can't do that. They wouldn't be able to do it in a court. It just wouldn't work. I don't see how the owners can do this and just blow up collective bargaining and say, we're making less money, therefore you're going to eat the cost. You know, they're the owners for a reason. They're the billionaires for a reason.
Yeah.
They get all the benefits of it, and they have to take the risks as well.
And that's exactly right, Wayne. Appreciate your call. Your last statement was the big part of it. When you own a sports league, now, granted, when a lot of these owners came into the league, BT, they weren't worried about this type of risk, meaning fans aren't going to be in the stadium. Therefore, a big slice of the revenue is not going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But it still is a risk.
Yeah.
There could have been something else that happened. Maybe, I don't know, snowstorm. Who knows? A freak June snowstorm. No fans are going to be in the arena for the next, or the stadium for the next month, right? That's the risk that the owners inherently are taking, and now they're pushing it off on the players. And it's interesting that, like, the wording around this, BT, because it's always about the fans. Like, from the owner's standpoint, what we're hearing is fans aren't going to be there. Fans aren't going to be, you know, adding to the revenue. Therefore, the fans are going to lose out if the players don't play the game, and the fans are going to miss the players. Like, it's always about the fans. They're taking this. Their populace, right? Their income driver, and wedging them right into the middle of this conversation. And it's not fair. It's really not fair to the players. And I think most people are going to be on our side with this, BT, or on the player side, even though usually when these things come to public light like this one is, mm-hmm. you're usually on the owner side, and the players become the bad guys.
It's true. Let's get Rusty, who's in Montana. Beautiful state.
Rusty. What's happening?
What's up,
Hi,
Rusty?
Hi, BT.
What's up, man?
Hey.
Been a while.
How you guys doing?
Good, man. How you doing, Rusty? It's been a while. You okay?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. I'm doing really good.
Atta boy.
You betcha. But, yeah, I think if I was one of them Blazers. I think I just throw up a picket sign on them.
I don't think that's going to happen. There's no way they're striking.
You don't think so?
No, there's no way.
I'd say, you know what, let's just get the CBA done right now. Let's get a new CBA done.
Rusty, you bring up an interesting point because we saw this with the National Football League and the NFL did their CB early. We talked about this when it was happening, BT, really, because they were looking to redo the TV contract. So you get the CBA for football done early. You don't have to worry about potential work stoppages. Mm-hmm. You can now go really hammer the TV deal with CBS and Fox and ESPN and everybody else. So it was smart for the NFL to get it done early. If the owners are really going to go down this path, I mean, they might want to try to change the or have a CBA conversation right now. If they're going to get this thing delayed and frustrated and people are going to be at each other's throats, you might as well throw in the CBA conversation right now because this is what it's going to come to. At least it's what it feels it might come to.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the strike, thanks for the call there, Rusty. Good to hear from you. It's been a long time. Rusty up in his beautiful cabin, I'm sure, somewhere. I always view him kind of just strolling around on his porch. You know, you got a bear hanging from the wall, little deer antlers.
I've been to Montana, man. It's talk about the social distancing, you know, capital of America.
Oh, you're safe up there.
There, you are safe, man. You're just not a lot of people.
Yeah, I know. That's one of the five states that I have not been to, Montana.
Fly fishing, Montana.
Oh, yeah, I know the story. Here's the problem, though. In terms of striking, they won't do that because of the year loss of you're going to lose all these wages, which they've already lost a big chunk. And then the free agent in terms of mm-hmm. how you accrue, tenure is obviously a big issue. But, you know, it's not just about the money. And it's this little quote that should worry people maybe even more. And I'm not trying to be an alarmist because up until today, I've been maybe overly confident. Oh, yeah, baseball's coming back. Of course baseball's coming back. They haven't thrown a pitch this season.
Yeah.
They'd be out of their minds not to find a way to get back on the field and make some revenue. Today's the only day I've been a little negative, and this short quote from the union and a statement worries me. The proposal involves massive, massive additional pay cuts, and the union is extremely disappointed. So, messaging doesn't seem like much, but massive and extremely. Those are two mm-hmm. words to jump out. And then the next part, we're also far apart on health and safety protocols. So
yeah, we're not even talking about that yet.
We haven't even crossed that bridge yet. We have a bigger fish to fry. But the other stuff, we're not liking that either.
No, you're right. Yeah. And we know that that's front and center on most of these players' minds. I mean, remember Mike Trout saying, my wife is pregnant. And,
yeah,
and
sure.
I'm not interested in getting myself sick and therefore my family sick. Yeah. And so all of a sudden you're worried about how can we do this safely? How can we get out and play the game, be around each other, around our skippers, our the staff, et cetera, and do this safely? And all of a sudden you're hammered across the head with this massive and extensive pay cut. That's really hard to swallow. It really is.
We're going to move on, but I want to give Justin a chance. He's up in Albany, New York. Justin is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Justin? How you doing today? Justin.
Hey, how you doing?
What's
you
up,
doing?
Justin?
How you doing, Justin?
I'm actually kind of in the middle because really it's a lose-lose situation.
You're right.
If you really look at it, because if the players don't play, mm-hmm. you're going to lose a lot of fans like they did after the strike in 94 because I didn't watch baseball for almost 6 years after that.
Before you go on, describe your fandom. One, the low, 10, high. While you had that six-year respite, what was your level of fandom?
Oh, I'm a huge Mets fan. So
a 10?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a 10. So I was I just wouldn't watch. I was so mad I just wouldn't watch them.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I think a lot of people
were
that way.
They also stunk back then, too.
True. I mean, it took like a decade for baseball to get back up to the numbers pre-strike. So you got a point, Justin. But go ahead.
Yeah, actually, I didn't even tune in again until McGuire and Sosa.
That's great. So what about the owner's side of this?
Oh, the owner's side, you're billionaires, man. You need to suck it up. There's a risk and risk-reward in every business venture.
Yeah.
But you need to stop it with that crap.
Yeah,
like,
nah.
Don't you're right. Give me that. It's a pandemic. Like worldwide.
So we talked to Scott Boras last week,
Call, man.
He brought to our attention the valuation issue, which is not something you think about, like the value in the business. You buy something for $100 million, and 10 years it's worth $1 billion. That's an enormous appreciation of value. And so while these owners are worried about the short-term risk and loss that they're going to accrue, the long-term number is they'd have to have years of this for them to lose, years of fans not being in the stadium for them to lose on their investment. You know what I mean?
So that's
hard for me to ignore. Yep. One, from a player standpoint, but also for just from a business standpoint. You have down years. It happens. Mm-hmm. The world adjusts, and eventually it comes back. And I think that's ultimately what does happen. The MLB owners might have to do something that's going to be unpopular for them and their organizations, but they might have to just eat a loss here. Otherwise, baseball has a chance of not happening, and that's going to be really ugly for everybody involved.
And by the way, the year before that strike, you know, the Mets were 59-103. Mm-hmm. They were below 500 at the time of the strike. The next year, they were 69-75, and then the year after that, they were 71-91. I'm not doubting his allegiance, but I am saying a little easier to check out when your team is terrible.
It's true.
Maybe. Let's get Axe update. We'll come back a little inbounds, out of bounds after Axe. Here's Rich Ackerman. All right. Got a lot to get to, so just jump right back into it here. Time to ask the pros on Tiki and Tierney. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet us at CBS Sports Radio and use the hashtag AskThePros at CBS Sports Radio, hashtag AskThePros, and Tiki and I will answer the best one a little later on. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I just saw this. This is good for Big 12 fans, Texas Tech Red Raider fans. Mac McClung, remember him from Georgetown? He's good.
I do.
Oh, he is good.
That's an interesting story, too, that Mac McClung story.
Yeah, he's transferring. He's obviously left the Georgetown program. We knew about that a few weeks ago. So Patrick Ewing lost who more importantly is out of the hospital, and he's battling the COVID-19 virus. Pat's going to be okay, which is great. But Mac McClung is bouncing, as we know. He's going to Texas Tech. Don't know if he will get the waiver. A lot of people think it's done. It's not. But he's going to play for a really good coach in Chris Beard for the Red Raiders.
Yeah,
Mac McClung can ball, Mac.
Yeah,
good.
We know that from the Virginia Final Four a couple years ago, BT, or actually last season, or 2 seasons ago, I should say. But that Mac McClung story is interesting, BT, because he left to go early, got advised that he wasn't going to get picked high because he didn't handle the ball enough, wasn't a point guard enough in Patrick Ewing's system. So instead of going to figure it out with Patrick Ewing, he said, I'm transferring out because I want to be a point guard. And so, it's interesting, man. It's interesting. Georgetown loses a big-time player.
They've lost a couple over the last year.
True, but still, you lose a big-time player because the NBA says you're not playing enough point guard. Mm-hmm. It's not really in cohesion.
College hoops is a tough sell these days. There's no doubt. It's a tough racket. Little inbounds, out of bounds. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Let's start with the Rams here. They traded for Jalen Ramsey midway through last season, sending 2 first-round picks to the Jags for the All-Pro corner. Now Ramsey getting ready to enter the final year of his contract, and some expected him maybe to hold out for a long-term deal. Ramsey, however, says not going to happen.
The Rams know where I stand, and I think that's all that matters at the end of the day. So it'll get handled. They know where I stand. They've been in contact with my agent. They're on the same page as my agent. They know what's up. I know what's up. So I'm gonna let them handle that.
Would you play football? Would you go to training camp if you don't have an extension?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay, that's refreshing if you're a Rams fan. In or out, the Rams should give Ramsey an extension before the season begins.
I'm going to say out of bounds of this, BT, only because you go look at the Rams' finances right now, they are minus $1.5 million over the cap. So they don't have any cap space, so I don't know how they're going to get this done. Now, they could probably put, by extending his deal or doing something creative, they could take away his $13.5 million number and lessen it and spread it out a little bit. But I think when you are that tight to the cap, it's really hard to start doling out expensive deals. And Jalen Ramsey is that type of corner that deserves an expensive deal. So I'm going to say out of bounds. But it sounds like they're okay. You know what I mean? It sounds like he's okay with it, and he might be on the same page, so it doesn't necessarily matter that much.
You know, I'm still going to try to get this done before the season begins, personally. I'm going to say in bounds to this year. Now, where's that money come from? Well, Whitworth is, I mean, how many more years can Whitworth play left tackle, man?
What is he, 39?
I think he's 39. He's right there. I'm a little surprised he came back this year. Good for the Rams, but eventually that expires. It is what it is. So you could save some money there. You know, Brandon Cooks is gone. A year later, it'll be less punitive. I think their contract situation is going to be a little better for sure next year.
Next year, it clears us significantly.
Yeah, I mean, so the timing would say do it next year. I guess I'm just married to the concept. You gave up two first-round picks, and I believe a middle-rounder as well, but at least two first-rounders to get Jalen Ramsey. The motivation doesn't have to be there because he said that he's going to show up no matter what.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to take care of this, though, and then worry about some other stuff later. I hear you. I'll say in bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, John Wall hasn't played in the NBA for more than a year. Last suited up for the Wizards back in October 2018. And now the former first overall pick out of Kentucky says he's ready to get back on the court and start hooping.
I'm 110% healthy. Just still taking my time out to rehab. And luckily, I have opportunity to still work out while I'm at home during this pandemic time. So I'm fine with that and getting myself in the best shape possible.
All right, so Wall's ready to come back. He's a five-time All-Star, but he's played only 173 games the past three seasons. I mean, you play 246 if everything was so. 173 out of 246, not a good ratio. John Wall can still be a high-level All-Star caliber player, in or out?
I'm going to say out of bounds of this because it's caveat. It's two-part here. High level, I think maybe he could play at a high level. All-Star, I don't think that he's going to be able to keep up any longer. There's already some veteran, you know, big-time scorers in the NBA that are – and I know we're mostly positionless as it pertains to the All-Star, but there's some young players that are on the come that are going to take those positions.
It's not young.
Exactly. It's not Doncic. You know, it's not conference-specific any longer.
Yep.
But I still can't see how he makes the All-Star consistently going forward. So out of bounds.
John Wall is shooting 43% overall for his career, and John Wall is shooting a pretty ghastly 32% from downtown for his career. So I ask you, what is his best attribute before the injury? Speed.
Athleticism, speed, yeah.
He may have been, and I've said a few times on the show, I actually think at one point it was true. He was the quickest from end line to end line, 94 feet. Nobody got down there quicker. So, you know, and that's what made him borderline great, not quite great, but a high-level All-Star based on the question. No, out of bounds. I mean, so you take away his most athletic trait, and now you force him to do things that he's not above average at. Just use your head, common sense. I mean, come on. So, nope, I'm going to say out of bounds. I don't see it.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teak, moving on here. Number Trey, baseball, the Players Association complains about the latest proposal by the owners and the sliding scale. Teak and I talked about this to start the show. Minor league players are getting screwed as well. Minor league players, as we know, there's been a fight for increased salaries to get some concessions. This year, they got some, actually, but still receive just $400 a week during the season, depending upon the level. Now the Oakland A's have told their minor leaguers that they will not get paid after May, and worse yet, can't play for other teams, so they're trapped. And without money, I don't really know how you work on your skill.
Yeah.
One baseball writer did the math. If the A's paid every minor leaguer their typical $400 a week through August, it would cost the team just $1 million, a mere pittance for a professional outfit. In or out, the commissioner's office should force all teams to continue paying minor leaguers during the pandemic.
I'm going to say out of bounds because it's too blanket of a stadium, but for the A's standpoint, they should do the right thing here. I mean, they're exceedingly becoming, like, I don't know, they're becoming exceedingly cheap, right? They're not paying their rent because, what the heck, they don't care. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, BT. Kick us out,
What are you going to do?
Kick us out. We don't want to be there anyways.
All right, you already lost the other tenant.
I know, right? We're good. And now you're not paying your players. It just doesn't sit well Not that that matters when you get back to baseball. I'm sure all will be forgiven and you'll go do the, you know, play the game like it's supposed to be played. But it just feels wrong right now. But I'm going to say out of bounds because I don't think you can make a blanket statement like that.
I'm going to say inbounds here. There's just got to be some common sense, and sometimes you just got to do the right thing. I mean, this is, you know, it's not like we're saying they should double their, like, say if there was no pandemic, you know, in the middle of a season, you know, double their wage or add, you know, 20%. No, I mean, we're not saying that. What we're saying is just react to the times. I mean, you know, those are relatively lean wages. And if you can't play for another team, they're not letting you do that. They're trapping you. Again, I don't know how you possibly pay to work on your skills because you're going to have to make rent, so you're going to have to do something else. It's a bad situation that is easily avoidable. $1 million? Cut the damn check. Stop being cheap. That's pathetic.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, as we know, the Derby, Kentucky Derby, usually runs in early May but was postponed until September due to the pandemic. Now the favorite to win, a Bob Baffert-owned horse named Charlatan, has tested positive for the banned substance lidocaine after winning the Arkansas Derby. Now, a second sample will be taken, and if positive, will strip Charlatan of the Arkansas Derby title, but would still leave the door open for the horse to run in the Triple Crown. So you get the strip, but you can still compete. We all remember Justify, another Baffert horse who won the crown back in 2018, failed the drug test just weeks before the Derby, but was allowed to run anyway. So, horses who test positive at any point during the year should not be allowed to run the Triple Crown, even if subsequent tests come back negative.
I'm going to say out of bounds of that one, BT, because sometimes these positive tests aren't necessarily, you know, like positives. And so if you get banned, unless they change the banning rule. So if you get a positive test, it's like Major League Baseball. You're suspended for 80 games or whatever the number may be. So unless you get a positive test and you're suspended for a certain amount of months, I think it's there's too many variables here. And ultimately, you might end up hurting horses' abilities to run. If things come back, you get a false positive. So I'm going to say out of bounds that one.
You know, I was leaning towards inbounds, but I'm going to actually pivot here. I'm going to go out of bounds as well. You know, listen, if you get pinched in baseball, you get X amount of games. You get pinched in the NBA, you get X amount of games. I mean, there should be some sort of delineation where what I would say is if it was very close to the race, to one of the legs of the Triple Crown, then they would be banned from that particular race. So whatever, you want to make it a month, whatever, I'll let people who run racing actually come up with that time frame. But if you get pinched, you know, let's say from a month in and it's the Preakness, you know what? You can't race in the Preakness. It's just not it. So there's ways to do this where you do the right thing. You penalize the horse and the owners and the trainers for cheating. And the other field members are given a chance, you know, are not held captive to racing against somebody who's falsely or chemically enhanced, is, I guess, what I'm trying to say. But yeah, there's a way around this. I don't know that I like the notion of all three being taken away. I think that's a bit too much. Hour two coming up. Mark Cuban, he's got a unique plan. We'll hit that coming up next. BP and Sirius.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.